Yud Dalet Mao Cheshvan, Friday the 7th of November, Rabbi Alan Kimchi, Parshas Vayevo.
Always a pleasure to be here. Big Yasher Keach to the Tearaway organizers, a big Kiddush Hashem, this organization every morning, and also this wonderful Mokum Torah, this Beis HaMedrash, which is the closest Beis HaMedrash to my house, 100 yards away from my house, and it's a wonderful place to come to whenever I have an opportunity. I see that Dudi is here, especially Yasher Keach to Dudi for all the work that goes into the Tearaway. I'd like to have a look at three different topics from Parshas Vayera, time permitting. I'll start off with an easy one. We find in the great act of Achnasos Orchim of Avraham Avinu that Chazal attributed to these acts of Achnasos Orchim a great zchus for Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara says in Bav Metzia Peivov, Omer Chama Bachanina Vachaitana Dbeir Rabbi Yishmael, B'schar Shalesha Zochu L'Shalesha. Then the Zachar of three great acts of Chesed, Klal Yisrael later on was Zeicher to three great gifts from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he goes through the, in the time of the Midbar, the Mon, the Be'er, and the Anane HaKovod, the Gemara here says, and Peivov, the Matzia, came in the Zechus of the Chesed, that Avraham Avinu did. This is the Gemara here in Bav Metzia. However, we all learned in Cheder, I'm sure, that actual fact, the Be'er, the Mon, and the Anei HaKavod came in the Zechus of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Right, that's what we learned. And that, in fact, is a Gemara in Tainus, Daftes, a famous Gemara. So we have here a Stira in Chazal, as to what was the Makor, what was the origin of the great Zechus that Klal Yisrael had for these great gifts. How does one deal with a stira in Agadata? This in itself is something of a bigger question I won't go into now for the moment. One could simply say that there's two mandomrim, that in Bob Matzia it's Rav Chama Bachanina, and in Tainus it's Rav Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. There are two different Mamore Chazal, two different views about what was the Makor. That one could say. However, we find that the Gedolei Yisrael didn't like to use this answer, or better still, they only used this answer in an absolute last resort if they had no terrors to the kasha. So we find the Marsha asks this kasha, and the Marsha says in Zechus of Avraham Avinu, they would have had Chazdei Hashem, they would have had it only for a short period. But because of Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, they were zochah to have it for 40 years. That's generally the mahalach of the Marsha. And that's one mahalach. But I just want to share with you my favorite answer to this, which is in the Teret Tamima. So the Teret Tamima says, of course, the Doir HaMidbar was zeicher to have these great leaders, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, and it's in every door, it's the zechus of the Gedolei Yisrael in that door that Klal Yisrael get a special shemira and get special gifts. So what does the Gemara above Matzia mean when it says it was the zechus of Avraham Avinu? So he says, Gans Poshe, and it's typical of the Teret Tamima how he does this. So he says that the Gemara in Bav Metzia, Peivov, means to tell us that in the zechus of the great chesed that Avraham did, he was zeicher to have descendants like Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. If a person is a big Baal chesed, he's zeicher to have children who have great keichas. In other words, the whole zechus that Klal Yisrael had such amazing leaders such as Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, that in itself needed a zechus. So Avraham Avinu is the great origin, not just of the great gifts of the Be'er, the Amnei HaKavod, and the Mon, but actually he is the origin of that Klal Yisrael should have such a great Parnasei Hadar, such great leaders, that in their Zechus such gifts could come. So this is basically a stira in Chazal, a teret of the Marsha, a teret of the Teret Tamima, and generally an interesting Mokum Iyun, a nice interesting topic to have a look into in Parshas Vayera. The second point I want to look into, just very briefly, is a very well-known custom that every kid in Klal Yisrael knows, is that every Shmona Esra that we have throughout the year, at the end of the Shmona Esra, you take 3 steps backwards, and before the Shmona Esra, you take also 3 steps forwards, right? Shlosha Psius. This I'd like to have a look at for a moment, and you'll see in 2 minutes what this has got to do with Parshas Vayera. So the 3 steps after the Tefillah, that is already found in Chazal, in Yuma and Nun Gimel, and brought down the Shulchan Aruch Kufkaf Gimel Hilchos Tefillah, that at the end of the Tefillah, since you've been standing Lifnei Ashchina, one doesn't just turn around and walk away, one takes 3 steps backward. It's a sign of kovod to take one's leave, from the Shechina. That's already brought down the Gemara there in Yuma and brought in the Shulchan Aruch. The 3 steps before the Tefillah, you'll be interested to know, is not found in Shas anywhere, not found in the Rishonim anywhere. The Rambam never heard of it, Rashi never heard of it. The idea of taking 3 steps before the Tefillah, this is not something which we have Makoros for in Chazal at all. Where does it come from? Where a minhag in Klal Yisrael, such a widespread, deeply practiced minhag, clearly has interesting shoroshim. So the only real mention of this is a short reference in the Ramah, in Simon Tzadi Hay, where the Ramah says, in brackets, he says, before davening, you take 3 steps forward, that's the Ramah, and where does he take it from? He brings it from the Sefer Rokeach. Okay, the Sefer Rokeach was one of the Bali HaTosfos in the 12th century in Worms, and he was one of the Hasidei Ashkenaz. The Hasidei Ashkenaz were well known for innovating new customs, new minhagim in Klal Yisrael, which had never been heard of before. Like Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid brought all sorts of new practices into Klal Yisrael. Similarly, the Sefer Rokeach is a makor for the Ramah. So the Sefer Rokeach brings down a Rashi in Parshas Vayera. The Rashi says that Avraham Avinu, in his famous tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where he's davening that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should refrain from destroying Sodom, right? So it says there, is that Chumash Rashi here somewhere? It says there, the pasuk uses the word vayigash Avraham, that he's nigash, that Avraham stepped forward in order to daven. Thank you very much. Chapter 18. Okay. So Avraham steps forward in order to daven. Says Rashi, Motzino says Rashi, 3 times in the Tanakh, that Vayigash is used. Rashi knew this without a CD-ROM, incidentally. Without a CD-ROM, well, I would probably only have known it with a CD-ROM. But Rashi, Vayigash Avraham, says Rashi, there were 3 different Motzino Hagosha la Milchoma. Hagosha is stepping forward to engage in battle, a posuk with Yoyov, Vayigash Avraham, Yoyov. Hagosha lepius, there is also stepping forward in order to negotiate, in order to, in some way, make an offer, which is Vayigash Elov Yehuda, the famous Parshas Vayigash, where Yehuda steps forward to Yosef and offers his own services in place of Binyamin. And then Hagosha letfila, and we find Hagosha also letfila, Eliyahu HaNavi and Har HaKarmel, it also says that he stepped forward. Says Rashi, here comes the interesting bit, these 3 actually represent 3 different aspects of tefillah. Says Rashi, L'chol eile nichnas Avraham. Avraham was stepping forward to engage in all these 3 activities. What 3 activities? Says Rashi, L'daber koshes, to speak koshes, meaning that was milchoma, kaviyochel, of course, kaviyochel with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ha'af tispe, tzadikim rasha, right, this was a type of, if you like, confrontational language, which Avraham Avinu uses with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, it's not possible, it's not possible, so this is a type of verbal milchama, says Rashi, Avraham Avinu is stepping forward, Dabe Koshas. Ula Pius, Pius means, maybe there are 50 tzaddikim, 45 tzaddikim, 40 tzaddikim, let's make a deal, let's find a compromise, that's what Pius is about. Like Yehuda offers his services instead of Binyamin, let's find a way through. Ula Tfilah, Tfilah is supplication, Tfilah is simply to beg, right? says, so Rashi is telling us something very interesting. Rashi is telling us when Avraham Avinu steps forward for tefillah, the word Vayigash itself, the three references in Tanakh of Vayigash, of Milchoma, Pius, and Tefillah, these three represent three aspects of the attitude of Tefillah. Right? Says the Sefer Rekeach, because Vayigash means to step forward in anticipation, in preparation for Tefillah, a person should step forward three steps before his Tefillah and have the Kavana that in this Tefillah he's stepping forward to engage in Milchoma, Pius, and Tefillah. That these are the three steps. The three steps are the three oifanei hatfilah, the three ways to daven. And this is the source of the Ramah. So it's really only minhag Ashkenaz. The Sfaradim really don't have a source for this particular practice, although as far as I know it's widely practiced, even among the Egdos of Mizrach, it's widely practiced. But the source is only to be found in minhagei chasidei Ashkenaz. Just add one little aspect to this is that if you look in the Maharal Gur Arya on this Rashi, as you have time to do so, recommended to do so, Gur Arya says this is the pshat in the words Hagodol Hagibor VaHanoira. When we start every Shemana Esra, 365 days a year, we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu using the formula which Moshe Rabbeinu uses, okay, Hagodol Hagibor VaHanoira. So he says that is really the meaning of these three words. Hagodol is a reference to Pius, Hagibor is Milchama, and Hanoira is Tefillah. Why exactly these words mean these particular things, you have to look up there in the Maharal. But he says this is actually, if you like, hardwired into the Nusach HaTefillah. It's not just a Minag Ashkenaz that we take three steps forward. So it is a type of mental preparation for our Tefillah, that we should understand when we're stepping forward to daven, we're stepping forward like Avraham Avinu. Yigash Avraham, we're stepping forward like Avraham Avinu, and like Avraham Avinu's tefillah contained all these three dimensions of davening, to offer HaKadosh Baruch Hu pius, to supplication of tefillah, and kaviyachol milchama. I'm not quite sure exactly what milchama means in the context of tefillah. For that, you have to be, I think, one of the gedolei hador. I don't recommend. This is not something one should try without adult supervision. Milchama in one's. That's what they say on the chemistry set. No, don't try this one at home. Don't try this experiment at home. There are certain things you have to know what you're doing. But Avraham Avinu uses a language kaviyachol of challenging, ki'ilu, criticizing kaviyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Rashi says that's part of tefillah. And the Rekeach says that's something that everybody should think of when you're stepping three steps forward, and that's the Ramah in Siman Tzadihei. And this is the beginning of our tefillah. I wasn't actually planning to mention it, but since we're talking about the beginning of tefillah, it's actually interesting that there is a common practice in Klal Yisrael, which many Gedolim and Poskim believe to be a very common error. And as you'll often come to shul, and you'll hear the Shliach Tzibah, davening, Tzur Yisrael, Kumo Bezras Yisrael, Refleichu Remechu Nub Yisrael, Baruch Ato Hashem, then he goes silent. What happened to Klal Yisrael? Why does he say Goal Yisrael quietly? It's a mistake. It's a mistake. One shouldn't say Goal Yisrael quietly. One should say Baruch Ato Hashem, Goal Yisrael. Okay, let me explain to you a little bit. This is a subject for a whole half an hour Shia. Just hold on a second. Okay, so the Gemara says in Brachas, one has to be Seimeich Geula L'Tfila. One shouldn't interrupt between Goal Yisrael and taking the three steps. You shouldn't interrupt, right? Question is, does saying Amen constitute an interruption? On that there is a machlekes between the Machaba and the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. The Machaba, following the Rambam, both in Siman Samach Vov and in Siman Kuf Yud Aleph, the Rambam, the Machaba says that one should not say Amen. But the Ramah says, Minag Ashkenaz, is that you say Amen, and the Gal Yisrael, you say Amen, V'chei Noihagin, and that's the Ramah, and that is Rov Rishonim, seems to take the view, that is the practice, and it seems to be, look at Mishnah Berurah, the Chai Odom, or HaShulchan, seems to be that's Minag Ashkenaz. The Baruch Ato Hashem, Gal Yisrael, Amen, and Magei Baita. That is Simon Samach Vav and Simon Kuf Yud Aleph both mention this particular Machlokes Mechaber and the Ramban. However, the Mishnah Brura does say the Yesh Medaktikim. Sometimes, you know, the Mishnah Brura gets into the Yesh Medaktikim, by which he means there are some people who wish to be Yotze Kol Hadeis. To be Yotze Kol Hadeis, since at the end of the day it's a Machlokes Rishonim. And to be mafsik ben gula letfila is a serious matter in Hilchos Brachos. So therefore, there's a way to resolve this problem. And the Mishnah Brura brings two eitzes. Neither of which is that the shliach tzibur goes quiet. The Mishnah Brura could have thought of this eitzah himself, right? Mishnah Brura could have thought of this. Chai Adam could have thought of it. It's not rocket science to think about the Shliach Tzibur saying it quietly, and therefore you can't say Amen. None of the poskim, none of them suggest this as an Eitzah. There are various Eitzahs. Mishnah Brura brings down, for example, one Eitzah is that the Yochid should finish the Brocha, Brocha to Hashem Goel Yisrael, together with the Shliach Tzibur, and then you can't say Amen. That's one. The other thing he says, maybe you should start saying Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, take three steps backwards, a second or two before the Shliach Tzibur finishes Goel Yisrael, and then you're already holding in Tfilah, and you can't say Amen. He's looking for ways to avoid the Machlokes Rishonim, right? But he doesn't even dream of asking the Shliach Tzibur to go quiet. And I challenge anybody here to find me a Makor in Halacha, I've been told that it's brought down, and I don't know, the minhogim of Munkach HaChasidim, and it may be brought down in various different minhogim, but in the Makairus of the Poskim and the Halacha, there's no mention anywhere at all of going quiet and Goel Yisrael. I should say it out loud, the job of the Shliach Tzibur is to say the brachas out loud. That's his job. That's what he's supposed to be doing, right? And the truth is, if someone were to say Amen, Lu Yitzu, if someone were to say Amen, he's following the Ramah and the Rav HaRishonim who say there's a mitzvah to say Amen after Goel Yisrael. So you're not going to go wrong. The truth is, no one's going to say Amen anyway. Because the minhag in Knesset, does anyone say Amen after Oev Amo Yisrael, Haboche Ba'amo Yisrael Ba'avo? People don't say Amen. No one goes quiet. The answer is, somewhere in Jewish history, I don't know exactly how this happened, some chazan started going quiet. And because of that, this somehow developed into a minigun guys of Baruch HaTashem. Ending. No guys. Anyway, it's a mistake. My Rebbe, Rishleim Zalman Erbach, used to make this comment regularly. Rishleim Zalman used to make this comment regularly. That's a mistake to go quiet for Goel Yisrael. Most of the poskim simply, who deal with the subject, are not male al adas. They don't even imagine that possibly anyone would go quiet in Goel Yisrael. Why am I mentioning all this? Nothing to do with Parshas Vayera, but since I'm talking about the Yigash Avraham, the preparations for Tfilah, one should have a Shliach Tzibur, should know what he's doing, he should check himself out in terms of all the halachas which are relevant. Okay. On that you can say Amen, yeah, that's right. Okay, so in the last 10 minutes of the Shia, I want to share with you a very beautiful Mahalach, a very, very beautiful Mahalach Machshava, which is based on the Bnei Yisoscha, who is one of the most, I think, brilliant and creative Gedolia Hasidus of the 19th century. And here's an interesting question. We all know three Malachim come to visit Avraham Avinu. Why three? Rashi, there are three jobs to do. What are the three jobs, right? To be Mevaseh Besuras Tevas, the birth of Yitzchak. So that, the Midrash says, that was Michael. The other one was to destroy Sodom. That was, Midrash says, was Gabriel. And the third one was to heal Avram, and that was Raphael. Okay, so we've got three Malachim, Michael, Gabriel, Raphael. Each one has a job. Everything's fine. We know exactly what's happening here, except that there are four jobs. There's a job to save Lot. Says Rashi, you know what? Raphael's already there. He, saving Lot is Cain Raphael, even though it isn't really, but it's Cain Raphael. He does a second job as well. Having got through saying that each... I mean, why not send one Malach to do all three? Why not send one Malach? The answer is, every Malach only does one job. Exactly why that's true, that's a separate Indian. But then we find suddenly, at the end of the story, that indeed one of the Malachim is indeed going to do two jobs. And Frek Tzachakasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is short of Malachim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got Rivei Ribavois, Malachi Hashareis. If he's got four jobs to do, he can't send four Malachim. Why does he send three Malachim to do four jobs, and that one of them has to double up to do a second job? There's a standard interesting he'ora in the whole sequence of events in Parshas Vayera. So says the B'nai Yisoscha something very, very beautiful and very special, which I don't really have time to develop completely. But he says it's got to do with understanding at a deeper level what's going on with saving light. What is happening here exactly with saving light? So the Medrash says, on a pasuk in Tehillim, Motzosi David Avdi, the Medrash says, Heichon Motzosi, where did I find David Avdi? Motzosi B'Sudai. I found David Avdi in Sudai. What it says the Medrash, what does it mean by that? That light, who is the ancestor of Rus Hamoyavia, right, was in Sudai, and light had to be saved, not B'Schus Atzmai, but because he was the ancestor of Rus HaMoyavia, and ultimately David Melech Yisrael, right? So David, the existence of the lineage of David Melech Yisrael depended on light being saved. So you have to understand that that's really Me'achiri HaParagod, what's happening in Parshas Vayera, and the whole issue of saving light is not simply Avram Avinu's favorite nephew, and he is in difficulty, it's that as well, but the Ikka is, but Bamkus, it's about saving the ancestor of Moav and Rus HaMoavim. Okay. Says B'nai Yisoscha, we have to understand how this happened exactly, that Rus became the ancestress of David HaMelech. And this is a famous, well-known Gemara in Yevamos. Daf Yomi people here will have something to look forward to. Daf Ayin Vav in Yevamos. We're not quite there yet, but in Daf Yomi, nothing's really very far away. It's just a few weeks away. In Yevamos. So the Gemara says, the very first appearance of David HaMelech in public was the incident with the fight against Goliath. Right? Fight against Goliath. He appears as a young man. He's actually come for a different reason completely. His brothers are part of Shaul HaMelech's army, and they're fighting a battle they're not getting anywhere. And his mother sends him, like a good Jewish mother, sends David as the younger brother to bring his older brothers a bit of lunch, to bring them some food. He's there, and he hears Goliath being macharev from Agadev and threatening and everything, and everybody's tittering, no one knows what to do. So he says to Shaul HaMelech, let me have a chance, let me have a go. Sorry? Yes, okay. So he says, David as a young man, ask Shaul HaMelech, let me have a go. So he goes. At that point, Shaul HaMelech turns to Doeg HaEdomi and says, who is this young man? Who is this fellow? Says the Gemara in Yevamos, Ayin Vav, what do you mean, who is he? The Pesukim earlier have said that David HaMelech was one of the musicians in Shaul HaMelech's court, and Shaul HaMelech loved him very much. The Pesuk says he loved him very much. So what is he? Why is he asking now, who is he? So Shaul HaMelech, the Gemara says, Shaul HaMelech was asking Doeg, his main advisor, is this somebody who is Ro'oi LaMalchus? We find later on that Shaul HaMelech was paranoid about people taking away his Malchus. Is David a potential Melech, a candidate for Malchus? So Doeg says to him, what do you mean Malchus? Before you ask me whether he's Roi LaMalchus, ask me whether he's a kosher Yid. Because he's a descendant of Moaviah, and the Torah says, Le'yova Amoni Moavi B'Kal Hashem. So his ancestors should never have been brought into Klal Yisrael. He's got a pagam in his yichus such that he's not even really, I wouldn't suggest making a shidduch with this fellow at all, because he doesn't have a proper yichus. That's what Doeg says. That's what the Gemara says. Comes along Avner, who is the other advisor, he's the chief of staff of David HaMelech, of Shaul HaMelech, and he says, no, we've got a din. The din is Moavi v'loi Moavis. The Sechidish, and the Gemara goes through a whole debate there. How do you know Moavi v'loi Moavis? Right? How do you know that? So the Gemara goes back and forth. Exactly, I won't go into the whole Gemara. We've only got a couple of minutes left. In the end, the Gemara says it's because of the reason. The Torah gives us a reason why Moavis is not included in the din, in the prohibition for taking them in. Why? Because the Torah says the reason is Al Shelo Kidmo Eschem Alechem Mayim, that because Moav didn't assist Klal Yisrael when they came out of Mitzrayim, Ein Darko Shel Ish Lekadein ve'ein darka shel isha lekadein. In other words, a woman is required to live betznius. She's got no, but when there are male guests, she's got no business being there high profile. She could be behind the scenes, but she shouldn't. And therefore, there was no taina against the women of Moab, because they didn't have an obligation to welcome Klal Yisrael with food and sustenance and water. And therefore, Moab ibn Moab. That's what the Gemara there says. So it turns out, think about this for a second, Rabbi Sai, that only because of the din of Moab ibn Moab is David HaMelech a kosher member of Klal Yisrael, because only because of that din, Rus HaMoavia could be accepted as a Geiris into Klal Yisrael as a Getzer. Says the B'nai Yisrael something astounding, something really beautiful. If you look at the story in Parshas Vayera, the Malachim say, Aye Sara Ishtel, Hine Ba'oyel. Why do they ask that? So the Gemara says, in Bob Matzia Pei Zayin, Om Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Kedei L'Shagel Lo Kais Shel Bracha. So here they are, the men sitting together, Avram Avinu, and three male guests, and there's no women around at all. Behind the scenes, she'd been busy, but she wasn't there. Why wasn't she there? It's not Tanua. Not Tanua for her to be high profile in front of these men, right? But when it comes to Birkas Hamazon, there's a special din, right? And this is brought down in Brachas Daf Nun Aleph, and it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Birkas Hamazon, that when you bench, and there's a Kais Shel Bracha, it's particularly important to send it to the woman of the house. Because through the Kais Shel Bracha, the woman of the house will have a bracha. She will be blessed. The woman of the house will be blessed. The origin of that is that Sarah gets the kosher bracha of the Malachim, and subsequently she gives birth to Yitzchak. So this is a moment of massive bracha for Sarah Imenu, and we see that Chazal connect it to a Kais Shel Bracha. Okay, are you with me so far? So so he connects it brilliantly to a Gemara in Psachim, a Kuf Yud Tes, where the Gemara there is talking about the Seudo that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make the Tzadikim La'osid Lavoi. And at the end of the Seudo, what is there at the end of the Seudo? A Kais Shel Bracha. Everyone with me? Kais Shel Bracha. And what is the Gemara there saying? Kuf Yud Tes. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers the Kais to Avram, and he says, no, I can't do it. Yitzchak says, I can't do it. Yaakov says, I can't do it. Moshe says, I can't do it. Yeshua ben Nun says, I can't do it, all for various reasons. And then David HaMelech says, Li Noe, I'm going to make the kosher bracha shanema, kosher shos esa, of Hashem Hashem ekra, that is the kosher bracha. And the Gemara brings it down, actually, that's what the Gemara says. Kosher bracha, exactly why the others didn't want to, and David HaMelech did, the whole story. But the Medrash says that David HaMelech said kosher shos esa when he heard that the din of Moab, Loi Moabis, had been makubal in Klal Yisrael. So he drank a lachaim, like we all would have done. There was this cloud hanging over David HaMelech's yichus, until somebody came along and paskin, Avner, insisted that we paskin, Mekublani, Mishmol HaRamosi, that Moab v'lo Moavis, because of that, he lifted a case shows Esau. Okay? Says the, and with this I'll just complete, okay, I'll cut it a little bit short, the Bnei Sascha says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent three malachim to Avram's house, at that point there was no plan yet to save Lot. Lot was avud. Lot was lost. Lot was a rasha. It was only when Sarah displayed a high level of tznius by being Ba'ohel, at that point she set new standards for tznius. Because of that, it was possible to paskin the din of Moavi below Moavis, because the Moavios are only potter from the Isur because of Tznius, but that's only because Sarah raised the bar. She raised the bar of Tznius, and because of that, it was possible to paskin the din of Moavi below Moavis, and therefore Lot could be saved. Are you following me? So it would be, when they came originally, there were three jobs and three malachim. There wasn't a fourth job at all there. When Aye Sarah Ishtecha, when suddenly Sarah displayed this amazing level of tzniyas, suddenly a new possibility came up. The possibility was, let's save Lot, because we've got a din through the Hilchus tzniyas. Hear the lomdus of this, that's the Bnei Yisrael. The lomdus of it, through the din of tzniyas, we have a way to save Lot, because of Moavi v'lo Moavis, right? But this was only Nischadesh when Sarah was, and I just want to give you the cherry on top for this particular Dvar Halacha, there's a cherry on top, says the Bnei Sacha, the last line, and that's what he means. Kos Yeshua is Esau. Esau is Rosh Tevos. Aye Sarah Ishtecha. Kos Yeshua is Esau is Aye Sarah Ishtecha. In other words, David HaMelech, in the Seuda of the Tzadikim, Ba'achris HaYomim, he knew that he could only be part of Klal Yisrael because of the Tzniyas of Sarah. That made it possible to save Lot, and therefore Rus HaMoaviyah became part of Klal Yisrael. Aye Sarah Ishtecha. Rabbi Yisrael, nice to see you all.